Reading from Chaitanya Bhagavat by Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur, Chapter 19. These are the pastimes, the Lord's pastimes in the house of Advaitacharya. Yesterday, you may recall that Nityananda and Gauranga have come to Shantipur to ostensibly to chastise Advaita, but it was all Leela. And there was a lot of laughing and joking going on. And then they sat down for prasadam. And in the course of taking prasadam, Nityananda became absorbed in Balya Bhav, in the mood of a child, in the mood of a five-year-old or a three-year-old. And when the rice was served, he took his hand and took the rice and threw it here and there. Ha, ha, ha. That's where we left off yesterday. This is text 244. So tried to be in Shantipur. It's 500 years ago. The Ganges or the Gangas flowing in the backyard by Advaita's house. The Ganga's right there. I just visited that place in December. And a very beautiful place. It's Shantipur. It's Shanti. Very peaceful, beautiful place. Bengal is very green and tropical. And the Ganga is flowing there. If we were watching a movie, of course, you would see the different faces of the characters and be able to see their expressions of their face, their happiness or their distress or whatever. If the camera was on Nityananda while he was taking his rice, he would be laughing and smiling. Ha ha. Now the host who has arranged this feast of Krishna Prasadam is Advaitacharya. So one camera is on Nittai throwing, then the next camera will be on the other people in the house. Well, this is what Nittai is doing. Now, what do other people think about that? So then the other camera will go to the face of Advaita, and this is what you'll see in the camera's eye. Dekhiya Advaita Krode Agni Hena Jwale Nityananda Tattva Kahe Krodavesha Chale. Seeing Nityananda throwing rice all over the room, Advaita began to burn like fire with anger. Krodhe agni hena jwale. On the pretext of anger, he began to describe the glories of Nityananda. Very, very interesting. On the pretext of being angry with Nittai for his seeming misbehavior, when a 45-year-old 50-year-old, whatever he was at the time, 45 or 50-year-old man starts throwing rice all around the room when you invite him for dinner, then you can imagine it's rather strange behavior. And usually you wouldn't glorify such a strange house guest. You would rather criticize or scold him. And Advaita, on the pretext of being angry, he's going now to glorify Nityananda, who is Lord Balaram. Jati nash karileka e Nityananda kota haite asi haila madhyapara sangha. This Nityananda has ruined my caste. I don't know where this drunkard has come from. Of course, there's a very deep relationship going on here. Guru nahi bhalaye sanyasi karinam janmila na janiye nishchaya kon gram. We don't know who his guru is, yet he poses as a sannyasi. We don't even know for sure what village he's come from. In other words, this personality, this Nityananda Avadhut, he's beyond designations. He's Nirupadi. He's Nirupadi. He's not bound by any designations. And he is the origin of Guru Tattva. He is Balaram. He is the Adi Guru, Guru Tattva. So he doesn't, just like sometimes people say, God is the creator, but who created God? People say it like that. It's not very logical. Because first of all, we have to define what is the meaning of God. If you establish what is the meaning of God, God means the source of everything. God means the absolute truth. God means the supreme being. God means the sum total of all power and consciousness, which means there's nothing beyond God. God is not created by anyone. He is the ultimate creator. As they say, the buck stops there. So this is an irrelevant, inappropriate question to say who created God. These verses are glorification of Nityananda because Advaita is saying, we don't know for sure who his guru is, because he doesn't have one. He's the Adi Guru of everyone. And we don't know which village he was born in, because he's not born. He's unborn. God appears. It's called Avirbhav. Avirbhav and Tirobhav. Prakash. Prakat. Prakatstali. Prakatstali of Krishna. Janmastan. They say Janmastan. He's not really born. He appears. He poses as a sannyasi. In other words, Najati. He poses as a sannyasi. We don't even really know what caste he's in, because he's casteless. He's not a Brahmin, he's not a sannyasi, he's not a Shudra, he's God. All these designations, and within Varna and Ashram, they apply to human society. But God is not part of human society. Although he creates the situation like this, he creates the Varna Ashram. That's explained in Gita. Chaturvarnyam Vayashisram Guna Karma Vibhagasham. Krishna says, Chaturvarnyam, these four Varnas, four social classes, and four spiritual ashrams, the Shudra, Vaishya, Kshatriya, and Brahmin, Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanapras, Sannyas, these are created by me for the proper functioning of human society on the path of material, on the material path and spiritual path. Now Advaita goes on, Gare Gare Paschimara Kayachi Bhat Bhat Ekane Hailasi Brahmanera Sat. Nittai is eaten in the house of Westerners. Now he is mingling here with the Brahmanas. So Westerners doesn't mean French people and English people and Americans. The word in the verse in Bengali is Paschim. Means he has gone to different homes in West Bengal. He's eaten, he's traveled, he's been traveling here and there in some of the western parts of India also, because he traveled as an avadhut sannyasi. He traveled all over India. He went to Pandharpur, he went to Balaji, Venkateshwar Balaji, Tirumala Hills. He wandered all around India. So he was in western India also. So he ate there, obviously. He took food in different people's houses. But the implication is that Advaita is saying that this Nityananda, this avadhut who's wandering here and there, he's eaten with Westerners and possibly he's even eaten with people that aren't very advanced. So now he's mingling here with us Brahmanas. Nityananda Madhyape Karila Sarvanash Satya 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 Shuna Haridas. And then Advaita turns to Haridas after addressing Nityananda. And he says, Haridas, because Haridas is his partner. Generally, Nityananda goes on Pravachan, gar to gar, house to house on Pravachan, preaching, teaching. Advaita turns to Haridas. He says, Haridas, listen, I'll tell you the truth. This drunkard, Nityananda, has ruined everything. It's a real esoteric section of Chaitanya Bhagavat. This is not the standard. For those that are newcomers, this may be beyond you, but even for old comers. This is an exchange between Advaitacharya, Nityananda, and Lord Chaitanya taking place 500 years ago in Shantipur. It's a dinner engagement. They're taking prasadam. And Nityananda has become absorbed in his bhava of Krishna, because Nityananda in Krishna and Chaitanya Leela is Balaram and Krishna Leela in Braj. So now Nityananda, he's feeling, yes, I'm a gwal, I'm a balak. And he's 45 years old, he's sitting down for dinner, and then he adopts the balya bhav of a 5-year-old, a 3-year-old, and he takes his rice, goes, ha ha, He starts throwing his rice. And then his host and waiter says, "Hey, Ari, you drunk, you fool, you stupid, what are you doing? This is Krishna Prasad." And he's oblivious. So the waiter, of course, it's all in jest, it's all humorous, because they're all aspects of divinity. Advaita, Nittai, and Nityananda are different aspects of the Supreme Divinity. This is their Leela. God has Leela with himself, and he has Leela with his devotees. Leela with his non-devotees also. Pare Trinaya Sarunam Vinashaya Chudushkritam. Krishna is telling in Gita, Pare Pranaya Sarunam Vinashaya Chudushkritam. Pare Pranaya Sarunam. For the sadhus and devotees and saintly people, the theists, I protect them, deliver them, Parichan, Parichanaya, Vinashaya, Chaduskritam, Duskriti, the demons, the Pashandis and atheists, he nash, he destroys them, he kills them, by war, by pestilence, by disease, by his Sudarshan Chakra, personally. What is Sudarshan Chakra? Sudarshan Chakra is one of the weapons of Lord Vishnu, Narayan. It's an implement for destroying, like we have bow and arrow in this chakra. The chakra is also the time factor. Kalosmi, Krishna is telling in Gita, Kalosmi, I am time. And time is this chakra. In the Shastras it says this chakra, the Sudarshan chakra, has 360, you have a wheel of a bicycle, and has the central part, the axle, or what we call the hub. Then it radiating from the central part are what's called spokes, metal tines or spokes. So this chakra, Sudarshan chakra, has 360 spokes. And they represent, these are divisions of time, according to the movements of the moon, 360 days, so many seconds, 60 seconds and 120. So this 360 represents the time factor. And so everyone's life is being cut by the time factor. So this is the Sudarshan. Everyone is actually being destroyed by the Sudarshan chakra in the material world. But Sudarshan on the higher end means beautiful darshan. Beautiful darshan. For the non-devotee, the time factor destroys them. For the devotee, the time factor liberates them. For an atheist or a demon or a pashandi, they're committing sin. So they'll maintain their existence in a samsara chakra. But the pious religious person, he's on the mukti marg, bhakti marg. So the time factor for him is becoming less and less. His time in the material world is reducing. The more he does bhajan, the more he does bhakti bhajan and absorbs himself in shravanam, kirtanam, vishnu, smaranam, sevanam, serving Krishna, Vishnu, Ram, etc., then he's leaving the material world and attaining mukti, Vaikuntha prapti. He's going to nityadam, Vaikuntha, Vrindavan. Eternal life of joy and bliss in a rasa, a loving relationship with Narayan, Ram, Krishna, and spiritual world. So time factor for the devotee is friendly. Just like if you're in prison and you're going to get out in 5 years, then you're counting the time in 4 years, 3 years, oh, in 1 year I'll be liberated. So you're looking favorably upon the passage of time. But the materialist is not looking favorably upon the passage of time. Because the passage of time brings him to destruction. His kingdom, his palace, his body, his relationships, it's all finished. Most people are afraid of death. It's the vast unknown, the uncharted region, the invisible world, beyond, the next life. But for the devotees, it's clear. It's not invisible, it's not dark. So they're not afraid of death. Death is Krishna. Sarvaharashcham. Krishna says, I come as death and take away everything. So now here is Advaitacharya. He has hosted Nityananda and Chaitanya for prasadam. And he said all these things. Krodha veshe Advaita haila digvas hate tali diya nache atta atta has. These are very extraordinary. What's happening here? He's absorbed in anger. Krodha vesh. He's entered, deeply absorbed in anger, so-called anger. It's like a drama with Nityananda. And he's so angry that his dhoti falls off. This is some kind of comic scene here. It says dig vas. Vas means clothing. Vas means residence. Vas, dig vas, like we say digambara. Ambara means covering. So dig, purva dig, paschim dig, uttar dig. These are the directions. Dig vas means I'm covered by the directions. It means he has no cloth. Here they say he lost his cloth. It means he has nothing. So now he's very angry. Hey, what is this? You're throwing rice. Whoop! Drops his cloth. Then he claps his hands and starts dancing and laughing loudly. So now we have to wonder here, who's in Balya Bhav? Balya, who's the Balak here? The host or the guest? The guest is throwing rice all around the room. He's Nityananda in the mood of Balaram and very Chota Balaram and Gokul Leela. And then the host, now how old is the host? The guest is 45 years old and the host is 80. Advaitacharya was a big guru. Advaitacharya, he was about 80 years old. Very senior to Nityananda. It sounds like he's more of a child. At least Nityananda kept his clothes on. He lost his clothes. Now, he's dancing hate tali. Hate tali means keeping the tal. And we say kara tal. We have this metal thing called kara. Kara means hand. Tal means the tal, means the beat. One, two, tal. Hat is also hand. Clapping his hands is hat tali. Hate tali. Advaita Charita Deki Hase Gora Rai Hase Nityananda Dui Anguli Dekai. Gauranga is sitting next to Nityananda. So now the camera's been on, the camera's focused on Nityananda throwing his rice gleefully as a child, in the mood of a child. Now the camera focuses on Advaita. Now you see Advaita. Hey, what is this? You drunkard? You sannyasi? What is this? We don't know your caste. We don't know what village you're from. You're wandering all around, eating here and there and everywhere. Now you come here and contaminate us. We don't know what kind of type of contamination you picked up from your travels. The next minute, he's so angry that his clothes fall off. He starts clapping his hands and laughing. Now Gauranga, Lord Gauranga, is peacefully eating. And he says, what's going on here? This guy, I came here with Nityananda. We were invited for lunch. He's my friend. And when he's sitting next to me, he's throwing rice all around the room. And the host is dancing around naked. And I'm trying to eat my prasadam. There's so many distractions here. It's very difficult to enjoy a meal with the guy next to you is Puggle. And the guy in front of you is naked. Dancing around, clapping his hands. And these are all aspects of, this is God. This is what God does. These are the gods that we worship. And this is Gaudiya Vaishnavism. From the land of Gauda, means Bengal. Mahavishnu came into this world as Advaitacharya. This is Mahavishnu, lying on the ocean, milk. Now he's dancing around with no clothes. The same Mahavishnu. Extraordinary. This is very intimate expression. And it's recorded. We can read about it. As far as understanding it, maybe a little bit esoteric. So Gaura Rai Chaitanya, he's laughing. And then Nityananda, as he's getting yelled at. The host is yelling at him, hey, this, you're throwing rice around. And then the host starts clothes fall off. He's laughing. Nityananda. So then it says here, that Nityananda, he laughed and displayed his two thumbs pointing up. Like you have thumbs up, right? So he was laughing going like this. All right! Advaita, all right! You yell at me, but you're doing a better show than me. So Nityananda is looking at Gauranga. Gauranga is sitting next to him. And all the attention was on Nityananda because he was acting like a five-year-old. All he did was throw some rice here and there. In one sense, he was quite composed compared to the host. The host broke into a fit of anger. Hey, you lose that. And waiter's there. I mean, Nityananda's sitting there. And then his clothes fall off and he's dancing around. And he said, oh, hey, this is a good show. Two thumbs, not just one. Shudahasya Maya Advaitera Grodavesh Kiba Brida Kiba Shishu Hasaye Vishesh. Seeing Advaita's anger, everyone, from children, from a child to old age, burst into blissful laughter. Shudahasya Maya. The Brida and the Shishu, Hasaye Vishesh. Very special. The Shishu means Shishu Kumar, Agrawal. Shishu Kumar, little child, and the Brida. Brida means old person. They had a very extraordinary type of laughter. And it's described as Shudahasya. Shudahasya. What does this mean? If there's Shudahasya, that means pure laughter, then there must be something called impure laughter, isn't it? This would be a logical conclusion. That if you have Shudahasya, pure laughter, you follow the logic? It's just the Bengali is saying shud. Shud means pure. So then there's ashud. Ashud. Mal and nirmal. Right? Dirt and no dirt. Everyone's bursting into blissful laughter. So we're posing this idea of shuda. Shud. You would say Hindi, I suppose. Shud. Shud. Shud hasya. Pure laughter and impure laughter. Pure laughter means it's transcendental. It's free from envy. It's loving laughter. It's full of love. It's laughter with appreciation. Laughter with gratitude. Laughter with love. In the material world, laughter is usually suffused with a dose of envy or a dose of jealousy or a dose of hatred. Usually people laugh. I don't mind. We have an expression in America. We say, "Laugh with me, but don't laugh at me." Laugh with me, but not at me. And generally, we laugh at people. Oh, look at that! So that is a form of mocking them, and so that would be impure laughter. There's ego there. There's exploitation there. There's some meanness there. So that's the impurity, because the material world is basically an impure place. Kam, krodh, everything is impenetrated with kam, krodh, lobh, moha, matsarya. A few drops of envy, a few drops of anger, a few drops of lust, a little greed, a little madness, mudda, a little moh, illusion. And you put it in your mixie, and you drink it, and that's called material life. When you go to that level, paravyong, you go to the transcendence, these are God and His devotees. This is the platform of pure behavior. This is the platform of divine love. So divine love has many flavors, or mellows, or rasas. Hasiras, Adbhutaras, Vibhatsaras, Rodaras, Karunaras, Bhayaras, fear and compassion. These are all flavors of love. Astonishment, amazement, bewilderment, fear, all these go into the expression of divine love. Shudahasya. So no one was laughing at Advaita because he was looking so funny with no clothes and clapping his hands. They were just enjoying, everyone was laughing because Gauranga was laughing. God was laughing at God. Krishna was laughing at Mahavishnu. Your right hand is laughing at your left hand. Is there anything wrong with if your right hand laughs at your left hand? It's you. So Krishna, in terms of tattva siddhanta, in terms of the srishti tattva, or the ontology of creation, from Krishna, Krishna expands his Balaram. That's his expansion, his amsha, the yamshi and amsha. Krishna expands his Balaram, Balaram expands his Chaturvyuha. Vasudev, Sankarshan, Adi, Pradyumna, then expands his Mul Sankarshan. And he expands his the Purusha avatars, Mahavishnu. Mahavishnu expands his Garbhadakshay Vishnu. Garbhadakshay Vishnu expands his Shiradakshay Vishnu and enters the heart of every jiva and every atom and every universe. Every universe has one Vishnu residing in the universe. on Kiradakshai Loka, the Paramatma, and managing. And it's all basically Krishna in his different expansions. So Mahavishnu is Advaitacharya, and Gauranga is Krishna. So they're all just relishing. It's an opportunity for everyone to laugh and relish this rasa between themselves. It's not so easy for us to enter this divine realm, but we can get some vague appreciation by hearing such divine topics. Shaneke paya bhaya kahila achman paraspara anande karila alingan. Shortly thereafter, Advaita regained external consciousness. Then they all washed their hands and mouths and embraced one another. So this is the point. This is pure laughter. And pure laughter, everyone goes away happy. They laugh. Everyone's laughing together. No one is the object of mockery. No one is the object of laughter. Laughter itself, the center is laughter, not somebody. We're not laughing at, you're laughing at me. Don't laugh at me. No one is laughing at anyone. Laughter itself is the objective. And everyone is connected to the laughter. It's a rasa. And some circumstance in the environment, some turn of events or some behavior brings out the rasa from the heart, and everyone laughs. But not at anyone. No one's really laughing at anyone. It just, laughter arises due to the circumstance. The individual, the time, the expression, the situation. This is on the platform of Leela. It arises. And then everyone laughs and everyone's embracing. But usually if someone laughs at you, what do you want to do? Hey, you're laughing at me? Pop! You don't want to embrace. Someone's mocking you and laughing. Ah, oh, look, he's stupid. Ah, you look at it. Hey, look at the clothes he's got. He's got a pink sock and a green sock. He's a Hare Krishna. Ha, 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 ha. So no one likes that. You feel rather angry. So the last thing you want to do is give a prema lingana, and a loving embrace to someone who's laughing at you. The idea of hearing these leelas is for us to appreciate that there is a real world beyond the phantasmagoria of the material illusion that we're partaking in. Beyond the phantasmagoria that we're partaking in, there is a real world called the spiritual world. Chit-dham. Chit-dham, the abode of consciousness. The abode of pure consciousness. It's actually called Chit-ananda-dham. Chit-ananda. Chit-ananda-dham. It is fully conscious and full of bliss. Transcendental bliss. The basis of bliss is love. And if the entire realm is made of love, then what is the byproduct of that, of those expressions of love? Nothing but bliss. The entire spiritual world, especially Goloka Vrindavan, is nothing but an abode of love. Bliss arises from love. Nowhere else. So the whole Dham is Prem Dham Vrindavan. The very ground, the ground zero, the sky, the clouds, the trees, the water, the birds, the pebbles, everything is saturated with prem. That's the meaning of Prem Dham Vrindavan. So arising from every atom and every tree and every trunk and every parrot and every deer and every wave of water and every song of the bird is nothing but a vibration of love. Exchanges of love. When Krishna walks on the earth of Vrindavan, the earth is feeling that these feet of Krishna are like the arms and chest of my beloved. Krishna's embracing me with his feet. And Mother Bhumi in the land of Vrindavan, this land of Vrindavan, reacts to that loving touch of Krishna's feet in a Madhurya way. Madhurya, in a conjugal way. She becomes ecstatic, and her hair on her body stands on end due to the thrill of the touch of Krishna. And that's expressed by the grasses stand erect on the ground, and flowers blossom in the ground. Every time Krishna takes a step, as soon as he lifts off his foot, then a flower appears where he left his footprint. It sounds like a Walt Disney cartoon or something. 3D animation. But this is the spiritual world, because it's so much ecstatic appreciation and reciprocation with the Lord. That's just the earth is feeling the intimate connection of Madhurya Vrindavan. There's so many things. So when we read about these exchanges of love on the pure platform, we can say, this type of shuddhasya, pure laughter, free from envy and mockery and all these contaminated expressions, and are laughing at other people and laughing at other, look at that stupid guy. Oh, mommy, look at that stupid guy. Ha, ha, ha. All this type of envy and this. So it's kind of a comparison basis. It's a standard. This is the real, this is the unreal. And then you can make a choice. Is the real more attractive, or is the unreal more attractive? We're living in the temporality of the unreal. So we can say, oh, what's in my hand? Oh, this is very nice. I prefer this to that. So you stay with that. But if you're attracted, it's all about attraction. If you want to sell a product, you have to advertise it. You have to advertise its good, its virtues, its good qualities. Oh, do you know? What kind of mixie do you have? Oh, that mixie. Oh, this one has a big motor and so many blades and doesn't drip and this and that and whatever. It chops and mixes and grinds. And the motor doesn't burn out. So you advertise. So to hear these leelas, it's an introduction, it's an invitation, or rather I could say it's an invitation to come to a higher plane. Aren't these sweet dealings maybe a little inconceivable? Because we have no frame of reference, because we're only in the material energy. In the spiritual energy, this is how things go on. They laugh for the sake of laughing. They laugh just to laugh. They don't need to laugh at somebody. They just laugh. It's not an organized laughter club in the Deer Park of Delhi. At 6 a.m. in the morning, you go out to the laughter club and everyone stands in a circle and goes, ha, 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 ha. In Bombay and Juhu Beach, they have another chapter down there. Ha, 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 ha. Hasya. Hasya Ras. Nityananda Advaita Kae Kolakuli Prima Rase Dui Prabhu Mahakutuhali. As Nityananda and Advaita embraced each other, the two Prabhus became overwhelmed in the mellows of ecstatic love. Mahakutuhali Prima Rase Dui. This verse is telling exactly what I'm telling. This is the abode of love. Prima Ras. Prima Rasadam Mayapur Vrindavan. So the rice is being thrown. Yeah, you this, that, and then anger. Said Krodavesh. He was very, very angry. Next minute, laughing, embracing, and pure love. And Nityananda, who threw the rice all around, and it waited, the host, who was so angry. Now that's all forgotten. That was all some moment of drama, moment of leela, to heighten the experience, to heighten the flavors of love and exchange. Variety is the mother of enjoyment. If every day you eat white rice for 365 days, there won't be much enjoyment there. But varieties of rice, pushpan, this, that, yellow, lemon, this, that, then some pleasure comes. Variety is the mother of enjoyment. Oh, Krishna, he likes so much variety. So now this is like the happy ending. They're yelling, there's anger and... Now, okay, ha ha ha, and embracing. Prabhu vigrahaira dui baho dui jan, priti bai priti nahika konashan. Those two Prabhus are the two arms of the Lord. Nityananda Prabhu and Advaita Prabhu are two arms of Lord Chaitanya. They had only love for each other. There were no bad feelings between them, even for a moment. Prabhu Nityananda and Prabhu Advaita are the right and left hands of Gaurasundar. It's interesting. I was using that point, and I hadn't read this before. Therefore, there is factually no possibility of any bad feelings or misunderstanding between them. Both are intoxicated with love of God. Text 256. Tabe ye kalaha deka Say Krishna Lila, Balakera Praya Vishnu, Vaishnavera Kela. The quarreling that is seen between them is part of Krishna's pastimes. The sporting of Vishnu and the Vaishnavas is like that of children. Balak Praya Vishnu Vaishnavera Kela. Vishnu Vaishnava Kela. Kelana. You say Kelana. In Bengali it's Kela. Vishnu Vaishnava Kela. It's a very interesting expression, actually. Vishnu Vaishnava Kela. Beautiful expression. Like Bhagavan Jiva Kela. Vaishnava. The worshipper of Vishnu. The Vaishnava. Vaishnava. He's Kela. That's what I said. Lila means play. Lila means Kela. Kela means play. It's fun. Is there any purpose to children's playing? Do they analyze why they're playing or how they're playing? They just express this inner bob, this play bob. They just play. What are you doing? You see some children doing so many varieties of things. What are you doing? And what will they say? We are playing. But you have no access to that world of play because you are an adult. So then you inquire, what are you doing in your world? You are living in the world of play. Will you please tell me, my dear daughter and son, what are you doing? Oh, you don't know? No, I cannot figure it out. See, this piece of dirt here, this piece of dirt is my house. And this piece of dirt is my car. And I'm moving this piece of dirt, I'm actually parking it in my house. Oh, because so the parents thought it was two pieces of dirt. And actually one piece of dirt was the house. So this is their world. They're living in this world of play, which we have no access to. The Vaishnav Vishnu Kela, they're living, the Vaishnava and the Lord, they're living in a world of play. Not only is that play going on in the spiritual world of Vaikuntha, the play is also going on in the material world. The Lord is playing with his devotees. And as one advances on the scale of devotion, he starts to enter into the divine Leela of the Lord and sees how the Lord is playing with him. And one of the favorite games of Krishna that he plays with, you can say, Krishna Bhakta Kela. We're saying Vishnu Vaishnava. We can say Krishna Vaishnava or Krishna Bhakta Kela. The Leela that Krishna plays with his devotees, one of the favorite Leelas that Krishna plays is called Luki Luki. Luka Luki. It's interesting. It means hide and seek. Sometimes Krishna appears before the devotee and then he runs away. This happens at the level of bhav. When one comes nishta, ruchi, bhav, level of bhav, sometimes Krishna appears in the lifetime of Bilvamangala Thakur. He was Bhava Bhakta. And in the level of bhava, he was having his first spurtis of Krishna. Krishna would come to him. Of course, he was blind, but he was having spurtis. He was seeing the Lord. Because the Lord is seen, can be seen with the eyes. Krishna will give eyes at the level of praying to see the Lord. Sakshat darshan, directly. Directly. You seeing me, you'll see Krishna. But before prema, then one sees the Lord with bhav drishti, with the eye of love. Krishna manifests. And it seems so real that you feel you can reach out and touch the Lord at the level of bhav. This is called spurti or vispurti. It's more intense and more long-lasting. But then you reach out, or you see the Lord, and you want to embrace him, you want to run to touch him, and you run, and then he disappears. You lose that spurti or vision, darshan, the level of bhav, and then you collapse. Oh, and there's vilap. The Lord was here. I saw him. And then he disappeared. But in Sakshat Darshan, you see the Lord. Oh, I want to embrace him. You go and you can embrace him. You can feel him. You embrace the Lord. The Lord embraces his devotee. This happens. This is called Prem Kalaha, Lover's Quarrel. This is a place of the hide and seek. The Lord comes. So devotees actually, we have Anartha Nivritti, Nishta, Ruchi. This is, the game here is Krishna's hiding and we are seeking. We're doing sadhana bhajan, sadhana bhajan. And we're worshipping the Lord and praying and serving. And we're trying to see the Lord. And we're trying to, because seeing the Lord means He sees us also. If we see the Lord, He also sees us. So our Param Guru said, don't try to see the Lord, but act in such a way that He wants to see you. But that means you also see Him. Because if He comes to see you, you will also see Him. So what does it mean to act in such a way that the Lord will want to see you? That means to desire to see the Lord. That means to have utkantita, utkantita, utkantita bhav. To serve the Lord, to engage in the service of the Lord with an intense desire to serve the Lord, that bhav will attract the Lord to come to you. That bhav mixed with your seva will attract the Lord to come to you and give His darshan. This is the meaning of act in such a way by which the Lord will want to come and see you. Because no, Krishna is a person. It's not that, yes, I'm doing my bhajan, and if Krishna wants to see me, I'll let Him come, but I'm just acting in such a way if He wants to see me. That's not what that phrase means. If He comes, I don't care. If He comes and sees me, good, I don't care. I'm busy. I have Mahaprasad, my wife, kids, this, that, whatever. This is not the meaning of Bhakti Sanatana's statement. Don't try to see the Lord. Act in such a way. Because trying to see the Lord means this. Means selfishness. Means, I just want to see God. Like the materialist. Can you show me God? Say, yes. You have to pay a small price. Can you pay the price? How much? Give me your life. You think seeing God is cheap? 5 rupees? What, 2 rupees? Give me $35, I'll give you a mantra. Om Padme Hum. Om Padme Hum. Or I'll give you a beach mantra. Aing, Ring, Kling. $35, man. Go home, go back to your apartment in Brooklyn, chant this bija mantra and wait for God to come. And there's no money back guarantee. There's no guarantee. You don't get your money back. If it doesn't happen, don't come back for your money. Seeing God is so cheap. Yeah, someone said, many people, I've been around a few years, they say, oh, Swamiji, I want to see God. Can you show me God? I say, yes, I can show you God. But can you pay a small price? I say, do you mind? You can pay some. Yeah, I can pay 35, 10 bucks, whatever, you know. Pay 10 bucks and you see a movie, you should be able to, maybe 15, you can see God. Right? You go down to Archana Cinema, down GK1, it's like, I don't know, 500 bucks to see a movie or something, 500 rupees, I don't know, 1,000. It's okay, I pay 1,500, a little extra, and see God. So when they say that, I say, yes, definitely I can show you God. Guaranteed. Just give me your life. Wait a minute, man. All I asked for, I just wanted to see God. I didn't want to really get too involved, but if you don't want to pay the price, then get lost, man. It's like this. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. This is an attractive world. So Krishna's hiding. And we're trying to find Him. So when we do our seva, when we're serving, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, you're there, I'm here, have a good time. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Are you doing, what are you doing? I don't know what you're doing. I know, you take care. You go with your gopis and I'll go with my gopis. Hey, listen, Bhagavan. You have 16,000 gopis. Okay, I have 3 or 4, but, you know, I'm trying to catch up. This is not the way to serve Krishna, to act in such a way that Krishna will want to see us. Krishna wants to see those who want to see him. This is natural, is it not? If somebody really wants to see you and really loves you and really cares for you, then won't you also reciprocate in a mutual way? I really also want to see you and be with you and care for you. So if we're doing our seva or sadhana bhajan in a lackadaisical commonplace way, going routine way, this at this time and that at that time, and we could say kamse kamsa or blase way, then he's too busy. But when our whole heart is saturated with utkantita bhav, Krishna, what is the meaning of these eyes if I don't see you? What is the meaning of these ears? I'm chanting Kam Gayatri. Kam Gayatri is your bamshi, bansuri, is there in that vibration of Kam Gayatri. What is the point of chanting this mantra if I'm not hearing your flute? What is the point of having ears if I'm not hearing your voice? What's the point of a nose if I can't smell your fragrance? You have fragrance, you have form, ganda, shabda, ras, you have taste. Why do you give me these senses just to engage in maya? When will you appear on my senses? I'm serving you, but I want to be with you. Like that song by George Harrison was so beautiful, My Sweet Lord. I really want to be with you, my Lord. I want to see you. I want to feel you. Prabhupada loved that song. They played it for him. He was a follower of Srila Prabhupada. George Harrison was some musician from the Beatles back in the 70s, 1970s. He made an album. It was a gold album, big album in the old days. It's called My Sweet Lord. It was a song about Madhurya Purushottam Sri Krishna. Madharam Samapayat. I mean, Madharastakam. Krishna, My Sweet Lord. And it was saying, My Sweet Lord. And then in the background, there was a chorus of girls saying, Hare Krishna. And they were singing Hare Krishna mantra to the tune of a Christian chant called Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is some Christian thing. Hallelujah. It sounds like a mantra. It's some kind of thing they say about God or something. Hallelujah. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. I really want to see you now, my Lord. I really want to be with you. I want to feel you. That's a beautiful song. That album made thousands of devotees, actually. This was his offering to Prabhupada and to Lord Sri Krishna. And because he had a pure motivation, he was already a millionaire when he made the album, so he wasn't after money. He didn't care anymore. He had name, fame, followers, everything. So he had enough nerve to published a whole album and a special song about Krishna and the name mantra was there, but it was just about My Sweet Lord, and the only Lord that's sweet is Krishna. Krishna's a sweet Lord and he loves to eat sweets. So this is the invitation here. We're being invited to the sweet Dham of the Lord. Kene mate Mahaprabhu Advaita Mandire Swa Anubhavanande Krishna Kirtane Bihari. In this way, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was absorbed in his own ecstatic mood while enjoying the glorification of Krishna in the house of Advaita. Iha Bhuji Bara Shakti Prabhu Balaram Ane Nahi Janaye E Sabagunagram. Only Lord Balaram has the power to understand these pastimes. No one else can understand the nature of these pastimes. So don't feel so bad. The author, Vrindavan Das Thakur, who is a manifestation of Srila Vedavyas. Vedavyas wrote the Bhagavat Puran and the Vedas, especially Srimad Bhagavatam. And Vedavyas came 500 years ago to write the Chaitanya Bhagavat, the Bhagavat about Lord Chaitanya and his followers. So he's saying that Balaram, who is Nityananda, maybe he understands something about these pastimes, but no one else will. But we try to distribute something of this pastime. Saraswati Jane Balaramera Kripai Sabara Jivaya Sehi Bhagavati Ghai. By the mercy of Balaram, Goddess Saraswati also knows these pastimes. Saraswati glorifies these pastimes through the tongues of those who are qualified. So that means that if someone is an advanced in bhakti, an advanced devotee, he will speak on this Chaitanya Bhagavat, and he will be empowered by Bhag Ishwari. Bhag Ishwari is Saraswati. Bhag means speech, and Ishwari means controller. And sometimes when devotees are very advanced on the path of bhakti bhajan, they attain what is called Bhag Siddhi. Bhag Siddhi means perfection of speech, that actually their speech is empowered by the Shakti of Saraswati. Saraswati is an expansion of Srimati Radharani. There are two Saraswatis. One Saraswati is known as Dibya Saraswati. She is the consort and wife of Lord Narayan. And she expands into the Saraswati who is the goddess of knowledge that all of you prayed to when you were in school. The pious group of ladies and gentlemen, when they were going to school and studying for their exams, by their desk they would have one picture of goddess Saraswati. Oh, Saraswati. Of course, maybe nowadays people don't care about that, Saraswati, but anyway, in days of yore, they would pray to the goddess of learning, please help me, give me some knowledge of dance or music, or science, whatever. But she is only an amsha, an expansion of Divya Saraswati, who is transcendental personality, the wife of Narayan, and Saraswati's expansion of Radharani. Therefore, Vrindavan Das Thakur is saying these are very esoteric, difficult to understand pastimes. And Shastra in general is very difficult to understand. That's why we are meant to hear Shastra from devotees or empowered personalities. They're empowered by Saraswati to unravel the mysteries of Shastra, to clarify the fine points of transcendence, and to enable us to grasp a picture of spiritual reality. So some few devotees have what is called Vag Siddhi, that they have perfection of speech, that whatever they speak goes so deep into the heart and becomes so translucent and so perceivable that it seems that it's understandable. Even the most esoteric subjects can be made understandable by someone with Vag Siddhi. And another aspect of Vag Siddhi is that whatever they say comes true. It's a siddhi. They say, and that's why Indian people have this whole tradition of seeking ashirvad, blessings from saintly people. Unfortunately, there are lots of blessing seekers. There are millions of people in India looking for blessings, but there are very few people that have the power to give blessings. Because to give blessings, one needs Vag Siddhi. Because someone goes to someone and says, please give me blessings that I can live in Vrindavan or this or that, or whatever. And if you have Vag Siddhi and you say, I bless you that you can live in Vrindavan, then that will come true. You will be able to live in Vrindavan. We have, in our life, we have met such personalities and sought blessings from them, and they're very powerful. But generally, people go to these half-baked sadhus, let's say kacha sadhus, and they don't have really any power. They have no tapabalam. They have not performed any intensive austerities to have the strength of tapabalam. And they don't have this favor of Saraswati, Vag Siddhi. So, Guru Maharaj, Saru Maharaj, Sannyasi Thakur, please bless me that my son passes his exams. So they give blessing. Then the son goes to take his entrance exams for college and he fails horribly. And moreover, generally, the advanced devotees, they're not very much interested in giving blessings. I remember one time, some people came to see us with their their son, husband and wife, and they had their son. He was like 18 or something. He said, Swamiji, I want you to give blessings to my son. And I said, yes, I will give him full blessings that he renounces all material life. And he dedicates his life fully to the service of God. Would you like me to give those blessings to your only son? And they fold their hands and say, bye bye, Swami. No thanks. Here's 101 rupees, and I'll never come back here again. That's a great way of getting rid of blessing seekers. Yes, we want your blessings. Yes, I bless you to give up your husband and wife. I bless you to leave this material world. I bless you to renounce newspapers. You're killing me. I bless you to never watch television again. No, no, anything but that. It's my life. I can't sleep without television. I can't wake up without television. I can't eat my dinner without television. Television's my friend. No, television. I have no one to talk to except the television. Pity. No higher reality. By the mercy of Sri Baladeva, the teachings of Sri Chaitanya are established on the tongues of those who engage in kirtan. Only those who have vowed to serve their spiritual master with awe and reverence are able to glorify the pastimes of Krishna. Shuddha, see here, the Shuddha Saraswati. Shuddha Saraswati, the goddess of transcendental knowledge, dances on their tongues and releases waves of Krishna's glories. This is a tika, or purport, by our param guru, Saraswati Thakur. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Beautiful phrase. Shuddha Saraswati, which means Dibya Saraswati. Remember when we said there's Shuddha Hasya. Shudhasya, pure laughter, that means there must be ashudhasya, impure laughter. So if there's Shuddha Saraswati, a distinction is being made, that means there's ashud Saraswati. So Shuddha Saraswati, or Dibya, Dibya means transcendental, is the goddess of transcendental knowledge, Dibya Gyan. And the Saraswati reigning, ruling this material world, is material Gyan. It's called Lokik. Lokik Gyan. Knowledge of this world, and this is alokik gyan, transcendental knowledge. Shuddha Saraswati, the goddess of transcendental knowledge, dances on the tongues of the great devotees and releases waves of Krishna's glories. I think we'll stop there. That's an appropriate place to stop. And sometime we may meet again, hear more glories of Chaitanya's Bhagavat. And we should also be inspired by these topics to reach out to the spiritual world, become qualified and eager, develop an intense eagerness to enter that dham. Eagerness is the price to pay. Eagerness, enthusiasm, determination, and patience. Interesting combination. How to balance and blend these, how to be eager and enthusiastic and patient and determined despite all odds. That requires an inconceivable strength to juggle these qualities all at once, determination and patience and eagerness and enthusiasm. It's impossible materially. But Krishna has one special shakti, which even has a special name. Agatana, Agatana, Gatana, Patiyasi Shakti. Agatana Gatana Patiyasi Shakti. Even that Shakti has a special name. Agatana Gatana Patiyasi Shakti. You've heard of Vidya Shakti, Ladini Shakti, Samvit Shakti, Sandini Shakti. So many Shaktis. This power of God is the power to make the impossible possible and the power to make the possible impossible. This is God's power. For the sincerely aspiring devotee who takes shelter of Krishna's holy name, the holy name has this Gatana Agatana Patiyasi Shakti. That impossibility to actually manifest determination and patience and enthusiasm and eagerness, which is an impossible task, automatically comes to one who takes shelter of the holy name of Krishna. Because the holy name of Krishna is Krishna. And it is Krishna with all of Krishna's shaktis and powers. And one of Krishna's shaktis is the power to make the impossible possible. So it will be possible. We can be determined and enthusiastic and eager and patient. And with this combination of these qualities and endeavor, we will attain perfection in this very life by the mercy of Sri Guru, Sri Nam, and Sri Vaishnav, and Sri Vigraha. Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat Ki Jai.